much. Lord, praise team, everyone is saying thank y'all so much. I feel like I've already had church this morning, y'all. I love those songs. He said, you bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. If we're honest, church. If we're honest, we're all broken people, aren't we? If we're honest, we're all broken people. An imperfect human saved by a perfect lamb. Thank you for singing that song, ma'am. And then that goodness of God, all my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. That's my prayer this morning. God, I'm just a 20-year-old kid from Ringgold, Georgia. I'm nothing. But God, you're everything. God, thank you for being so good to me when I don't deserve anything. Thank you for being so good for me. God bless me. Thank y'all so much, for real. Thank y'all so much for setting the stage. Like I said, I'm a 20-year-old kid. I recently accepted my call to preach just maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night. I battled it for about 5 months. I'm a preacher's kid. I come from a family who drug me to church every Sunday, every Wednesday when the doors were open. My dad said, son, we're going to church. Whether I liked it or not, we were going. And looking back now, I'm so thankful for godly parents. Moms and dads in here, I urge you to keep on fighting for your kids, no matter what. Keep on fighting for your young ones, because I promise you, I appreciate what my parents did for me. I appreciate it. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I love my mom and dad, and I'm thankful that I grew up in church, because I know not everyone gets the privilege to grow up under a God-fearing family. If you have your Bibles with me this morning, I'll be in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Whenever I accepted my call a couple weeks ago, that same night, Brother Kevin, your pastor, he messaged me, said, hey man, come preach. I said, yes sir. So here I am. But as he said that, I had preached a couple of times beforehand. We had Youth Sunday at our church a couple of times, and I preached there a little bit. I preached at a pastor's conference one time. Nothing crazy, nothing big, nothing huge, but my God had already started to align my steps as I would go. He already started to align my steps in his calling for my life, and I realized soon that I could not run from what God had for my life. I could not, and I'm thankful. I love preaching. I love sharing the word of God. I love bringing Jesus to people, and I love when Jesus is brought to me through other people. And I just, I count it a joy any time I get to come preach. So, Kevin, thank you so much. You and Melissa, thank y'all so much for having me. And I truly count it as an honor. But Mark chapter 5 this morning, if you're taking notes, I will be talking about, my title is going to be called The Power of a Breakthrough. The Power of a Breakthrough. Let me get there. I haven't even turned. I'm too busy talking. And I'm so anxious and nervous all at the same time. And y'all just bear with me this morning. But I'll be talking about the power of a breakthrough. If y'all will, y'all please stand as we read the Word of God, and then we'll pray, and y'all will be seated after that. I'm going to start. I got to find my place. I'm going to start in verse 22, chapter 5, verse 22. Here we go. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this day, God. God, I thank you so much for an opportunity to just bring your word to people. God, I realize myself that I am not worthy. God, I'm a human, I'm flesh, God, but I thank you so much that one day you went up on Calvary's hill and died on a cross just for me. If it was just me, you would have died for me, God. And since you did that, God, and since you bought my life with your blood, God, you've given me this opportunity. God, I pray I don't waste it. I don't squander it. God, I pray you bring back everything you brought to me in my study time. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to pray to you. God, I thank you for the music that's been done this morning. I thank you for Flat Top Church, God. They seem to be an active church doing things. God, I pray you keep that in their spirit. God, I pray you keep them on fire for you, God. I pray you keep them looking to what you would have them to do for you and your kingdom. God, I pray you'll bless the reading of your word. I pray you bless the notes. God, I pray you bless my preaching and that everything is said from you, God, and you just bless it all. I ask all these things in your heavenly and your holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. So the power of a breakthrough. This is a pretty familiar passage of scripture. So Jesus, he's walking with his disciples. And out of nowhere, this ruler from a synagogue named Jairus, he comes and says, my daughter, she's sick. Jesus, I need you to come. I need you to come and touch my problem, my little daughter. I need you. Jesus said, okay, here we go, boys. Come on, let's go. He grabs his disciples and they start walking. They start going. And in that multitude there's a lady with that issue of blood. That issue of blood for 12 years. Could you imagine being sick for even 5 years? 12 years, though, she was sick. Now, I realize there are people who go through battles a lot longer than 12 years. I realize that. But regardless, this is a very long time, and regardless, this is a very big burden and a weight on her life. But she went through it for 12 years. And it says this, Jesus went with him in verse 24, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. My first point for you tonight, the power of a breakthrough. How do we get to that breakthrough? How do we make that breakthrough happen? My first point for you is just called the ruining for the breakthrough. See, in order for her to have a breakthrough, in order for her to have this opportunity to where she could see Jesus, to where she could even have that opportunity to be sick, to where she could be healed, she unfortunately had to get ruined. She had to be humbled. And it's a disease that was on her life. And so far in this point in her life, it was a disease that never left. It's a disease that never leaves. Church, can I tell y'all this morning that when we were born with a disease that never is going to leave our lives? Unfortunately, what happened with Adam and Eve, we were born with that disease of sin. We were born with that disease of imperfection. It's a disease that never leaves. It's a disease that never benefits. It's a disease that is crippling. And it's a disease that is humbling. I want you to read that. She said she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew up. See, she put all her effort into fixing her problem. She put all her resources into fixing her problem. She put everything she had into people. She put everything into things that she knew. She put everything she had. She had suffered many things of many physicians, but I'm glad she didn't suffer many things of all physicians, because I know there's still one physician left that she's going to be hearing about soon. But I do know this, though. I know, and in my church, too, and I'm sure it's the same way here. Unfortunately, it's just all over the world. There's people that go through battles every single day. I'm telling you, our church, we have a lot of people. I love our church. But unfortunately, the devil attacks God's people. Our church, we have a lot of broken people. We have a lot of people that battle depression, a lot of people that battle anxiety, a lot of people that go through financial health, physical health, Just burdens of the everyday life. And it can weigh down on us. Little things, even, they just add up over time and over time and over time, and they weigh down on us, church. And if we're not careful, we can allow it to get in the way of our life, in our way of our relationship of God. And it becomes that disease in our life that we don't even notice. We just live life, and we slowly drift away. See, when it comes to that relationship with Jesus, He's never the one that moves or leaves. And sometimes we don't even realize that we have left until we're far away. And it's a disease that is humbling. She had suffered many things of many physicians. I love that part because it was never all things of all physicians. And then it says this, that in the very next verse, after and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse for her things, it says this, when she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. I want to talk to you about my next point. It's called the rebellion for the breakthrough. The rebellion for the breakthrough. So we had the ruining. Then she had suffered all these things. She had suffered all these things from physicians. She had suffered all these efforts, all this time. She tried to put things in, and she never got any better. She got worse. She grew worse. She grew more painful, more sorrowful. And then she saw the opportunity when she heard of Jesus. I could just imagine her just sitting there and maybe just talking with someone. And just maybe alone, and she's maybe just feeble and broken, and she's just talking about her problems, about, I've tried everything. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I need this breakthrough in my life. And I can see she's maybe just looking behind, and behind her comes this huge multitude. She doesn't even notice it. And maybe that person she's talking to says, have you tried him? Have you heard about him? Have you heard about Jesus? Because I tell you, they say just not too long ago, he healed a man with a demon inside of him. If you look at the beginning of this chapter 5, that's what just happened. He literally just took a man and said, who are you? With an unclean spirit, he said, who are you? And the demon came out of him and said, I'm Legion. I'm a demon with an unclean spirit, and he took it. It's crazy. It's a crazy story. He took this demon out, and he put him into pigs and just made them run into an ocean. How crazy, but how powerful. And I can just imagine they're sitting there talking, and just out of nowhere, Jesus, his disciples, and the multitude that just follows them and throngs them, it says, have you heard of him? Have you tried Jesus? And then suddenly, what does a rebel do? So a rebel goes against the norm, right? A rebel goes against what is thought to be right. A rebel finds that opportunity, and they go for it. See, church, in a world today, the normal is not what it should be. See, what the Bible says is right is not really considered to be right anymore. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. Church, it's time for us as Christians, if you are saved, it's time for us as Christians to realize that we have our opportunity right in front of our eyes. Jesus has put us right where we are for a reason. You are right where you're at for a reason. Youth, you are right where you're at in the hallways that you go to, the schools that you're in, the people that you encounter. The majority of this church might not ever encounter them. But right where you are, you have an opportunity to be different. And I get that scary. I get that scary. It can be scary to go it alone. It seems alone, but just bear with me. But they find an opportunity. That's what a rebel does. They find an opportunity, and I can just say, well, no, I know. I can just see her. She's like, no, I haven't tried Jesus, but that sounds. I mean, I've spent everything else. I might as well. This seems free, so I'm just gonna go for it. And I can see her coming up on that multitude. And I mean, how would she ever get to him? All these people, how's she going to get through? And I can see her just going against the grain and being a rebel and just pushing through people, pushing through, moving out. And I can imagine her being weak, though, but I can just see the strength that she gets closer to Jesus. I'm telling you, if we invest in God and we put effort towards Jesus and to try to go towards him and to actually make an effort, I'm not saying just come to an altar and pray, lay it down there. I get that's amazing. But when you get up changed. Get up wanting to make an effort. Say, God, this is my opportunity to change. And God, I want to change. I put that desire in my heart to change. Grow it more and more like a fire. Let it spread. And I want to be invested in God. I want to be invested in Jesus and what he has for me. When's the last time you just said, God, I surrender everything. Everything. I know it's hard. I can't imagine just thinking about me and my fiance Mallory. We just got engaged, and now we're thinking about houses and jobs and careers and futures and all these. Suddenly, out of nowhere, what turned out to be a cool video at Disney of me proposing has turned into so many worries. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do with my life? What, this is awful, you know. Not the marriage part's awful, but you know, but do you hear what I'm saying though? You see how easy it could get to be where such a joyous thing, and then I start thinking, oh my gosh, you know? And then little by little, all these burdens, all these worries that shouldn't be, start to pile up. And that's just what I'm going through in my life with my experience. I get it's different with everyone else. Maybe you're at work and you stress, you struggle. I don't know, school with work and college, I couldn't imagine. It can pile up. But it's important that we surrender every single thing. Be invested in that opportunity that we find. Be a rebel for Jesus. Be a rebel. Go against the norm. Let's not be a church who's just a church on Sunday, who's just a Christian on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. It's an everyday calling on our lives. It is an everyday calling on our lives. But she went against the grain. She went against the multitude. She was weak and broken and tired. But I can just imagine as she's climbing through people and slowly going through people in her feeble body, she just gets closer and closer to Jesus and the opportunity. And like she said, she was probably going through a multitude alone, you know. She wasn't with anyone. But the beautiful thing about going at it with Jesus is where the opportunity is, if you go to it, you're going to be met at that opportunity by my King Jesus. You're going to be met at that opportunity by my King Jesus. Because it says this, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said this, she declared it. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Not I might be whole. You know, I'm gonna take your word on credit for it. We'll see what happens. If I touch him, just touches him, just touch his garment. Guess what? My problem's gone. This has been 12 years of a battle, and I've lost for the past 12 years. Maybe you're holding on to something. Guess what? If you just declare it, pray it over your life, ring it over your life, bring it to Jesus. Say, God, I surrender it, okay? I surrender it. Whatever you want to use this situation for, what the devil means for bad, guess what? My God means for good. All glory, all things work together for good for those who love God. It might not look pretty to you. Your will might not line up with his will, unfortunately. But I promise you, if you surrender it to Jesus and you trust Jesus and you look to Jesus in every aspect of it, you will find Jesus at that opportunity to trust him. You will find him. And that's exactly what happens here. See, the beautiful thing I love about Scripture is when I pray and I seek God for direction, I can open up the Bible and I promise. It's like God just smacks me in the face with something every time I open it and pray. He's like, just smacks me in the face. Like I can apply everything to my life. This is just a manual of how to live life, guys. Power in prayer, yes. Power in music, I love it. But the living, breathing Word of God is amazing. I can't stress it enough, church. Get in the Word. Read the Word. Apply the Word. It's so, so powerful. It's so powerful. You got the ruining for the breakthrough. Then it comes to the rebellion for the breakthrough. We got to be different. And then the redemption for the breakthrough. The redemption for the breakthrough. See, at that opportunity, we got to find Jesus. And we got to set our focus on him. We got to set our sights on Jesus and put it as our goal. I want to touch Jesus. I want to touch Jesus. I want to know Jesus more. I want to know him more than I did yesterday. I want to know him. We got to lay our brokenness at Jesus. Just like I was saying in verse 28 where it says, I shall be whole. Like I was talking about, guys. I know. I don't know why God just put this message on my heart, but I know people are broken. I know people are bruised and battered and beat up. But that's okay. What's not okay is to stay that way. What's not okay is to stay that way. There is a redeeming power in Jesus when we touch him and we find him. We come to an altar and we pray and say, God, take it. God, take my worry over this situation. God, I might still worry, but be in my worry. Remind me every time I'm in my worry that you're right there and you're never going to leave me nor forsake me. You know what it says in Hebrews 13:8? He says this, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who was with the Israelites is the same God who's in this church this morning. The same God. The redemption for the breakthrough. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. I looked at my notes. Okay, so look, you got to hear this. The blood issue. Talking about issues, talking about just the power of God with this. Does anyone know your blood type in here? Anyone? A little bit? People, okay, y'all know a little bit how blood works then, like the blood types of A, A, B, O, stuff like that. Beautiful. Okay, so I took an anatomy and physiology course a couple times in college. Anyways, but I did learn this out of it, and it applies to preaching, so I'm good with it. So you got A positive, B, B positive, A, B positive, minus, you know, O negative, O positive. So here's the thing. With O negative, they call it the universal donor. They can give blood to anyone that they want. Anyone can receive O negative, and they'll be completely fine. AB positive is called the universal recipient. They can receive any type of blood, and they'll be all right. This woman had an issue with her blood. 12 years. She needed a blood transfusion. To put it short, she needed a blood transfusion. She heard of Jesus. And I don't know what kind of blood type Jesus had, but I know it was the saving type. And I know that I can't stress it enough. This passage is so good that all she had to do was touch. She didn't have to have no veins needed, no sticks needed, no nothing needed. She touched Jesus, and guess what? Her blood, it says straightway, right? And straightway in verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately. And then it says this, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue had gone out of him, he immediately knew that his blood had been used to change her life. He immediately knew it. He felt that blood transfusion happen. And she immediately, if there were two people in that crowd that knew it, it was them too. No one else might have knew a thing, because no one did until Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? You ain't got to tell anyone about your problem. You ain't got to go to anyone about your problem. You can. That's great. There's power in numbers. There's power in a church. That's why we come to church. We bear each other's burdens. But when all else fails and no one's going to be there for you, my Jesus never leaves. My Jesus never forsakes. It's powerful. And he said, who touched my clothes? The redemption power for the breakthrough. Who touched my clothes? And she said, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She was scared, and she just said, God, I touched you. God, you saved me. God, you changed me. Right there in the middle of a multitude, she said, God, you touched my life, and I'm here. I'm totally grateful. You changed me. You saved me. For 12 years, I was suffering. For 12 years, I was broken, battered, and bruised, and beat up. For 12 years, I had no money because I spent it all. I had bills. I had bills. I had bills. And I had poverty. I had bad blood. I had no health. I had no help. And then all I had to do was touch you. And now, guess what? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Y'all know that song? I'm redeemed, Big Daddy Weave. Oh, I'm redeemed. All I had to do was touch. And she was redeemed. And she was redeemed. Maybe that's all you need this morning, is a touch. How hard would it be for you to just get up and come to an altar and say, God, here I am. Here's my effort. Here's my investment. God, touch me. Here's my effort to make an investment in you. Touch me, Jesus. touch me, Jesus. Touch my life. Change my life. God, let me serve you. God, give me opportunity to serve you. Give me conversations in my life to serve you. Bring people across my life that I can just say, hey, is there any way I can pray for you? Do you know Jesus? Do you go to church anywhere? Just simple things. Or maybe it's just, God, here's my depression. God, here's my depression. I know it might not be cured in an instant. I know it might not be, but touch me. Be with me in the low times, in the tears, in the loneliness. God, touch me. God, here's my anxiety. Here's my loneliness. God, touch me. Or maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. Like I know Jesus. Maybe you've never felt that tug on your heart to where Jesus is saying, just, hey, come to me. Maybe you've never felt that draw on your heart where Jesus is calling your name to accept him in your life and be saved and forever changed. Maybe you've never felt that before in your life. I promise you, my King Jesus is standing there like this. When we were singing Good, Good Father at the end, it brought up Luke 15 about the prodigal son. I read that verse and I started crying some more. What a beautiful story. About how he thought he wanted everything from his father. Lost it all. Became worthless. Started sleeping with the pigs. Lost it all. And then as he says, maybe I could just come back to my father and just work for him. I don't have to be his son again. Maybe I could just work for him. And then his son saw his dad from afar off, and his dad saw him from afar off and went running towards him. Went running towards him. What a good, good father. That's a parable, but that's a perfect illustration of what Jesus does in our lives for us. A perfect illustration. A perfect illustration for the redeeming power of Jesus. It doesn't matter how far gone you may think you are. It doesn't matter how far gone you may think you've been, or how bad and how worthless you may think you are. I promise you, Jesus sees you as his creation. He created you. He sees you just the way you are, and he loves you for it. And if you hear that tug on your heart this morning, I urge you, don't leave this church the same way you came in. Don't leave this church the same way you came in. Because when this woman found Jesus, her whole life changed. And it changed for the better. It changed for the better. My last point for you. After the redemption power for the breakthrough, we have the resolving peace from the breakthrough. Look at verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. And just like in verse 28, when she said, if I touch him, I shall be whole. Now he's proclaiming, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. And be whole of thy plague. After we lay our brokenness at Jesus, we become whole. And we're able to allow this breakthrough to bring us into the season of reflection of where we were. Where we were when he met us at the opportunity. And now where we're going. With that peace that he puts in our life. Can I tell you, on the day that God was calling my name, I was tore up. When I first heard him calling my name, saying, you're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved, I was tore up. I was scared. I didn't know what was happening in my life. I was tore up, and I was not at peace. I was not at peace. I had no peace. I had no idea. I just prayed and I said, God, make that voice go away. I don't want to hear that anymore. I did. I promise you I did. I said, God, because I'd grown up a preacher's kid. In January 2011, I had prayed a prayer saying, God, save me from hell. I don't want to go there. I was just scared of hell, so I prayed a prayer. And then come August 1st, 2011, when he called my name multiple times that day, I kept praying, God, I want to hear that voice. And then that night of August 1st, 2011, he called it one more time. And I just prayed, and I said, God, give me direction. I don't know what this means, but I do, but I don't. I'm scared. I was not at peace. And I'm thankful to say on my bed in my bedroom, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. And after that, I'm telling you, just like this verse, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that disease. Be whole of that plague that was over my life of sin. See, that, it doesn't mean it goes away, but I have someone there with me now who's going to help me with it. I have someone there with me now when I get low and I feel unworthy and I feel dirty and I feel that shame. He says, don't worry, son. I sent my son to die for you, and you are covered in blood bought and white as snow from it. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Can I have every head bowed, every eye closed? And if y'all have someone to do song or something like that during invitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Like I said before, I don't know what anyone's going through this morning. I don't know what anyone came in here with, the burdens, the stress. I don't know if you needed a breakthrough or not. But I hope this morning, nothing I said, but everything that Jesus spoke to your heart maybe clenched it a little bit. And you got to hear what Jesus was saying to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Holden, I heard your message. And I'm going through a difficult time. You don't have to be specific about it. You just say, Holden, I'm going through a difficult time. And I just need God to see me where I am and be there with me where I am. I just need his peace this morning. I need his help. I need his love. I need his forgiveness and mercy and grace. I ask if that's you this morning, could you just raise your hand for me? I'm not gonna point you out and embarrass you. Yes, I see you. I see you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I see y'all too. Yes. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Oh, glory. Someone's already coming to the altar. Good Lord. Yes, I see. Anyone else? Anyone else? I just need God in my life right now. I'm going through a battle. I need that breakthrough. Can I ask if y'all stand at the same time? Yes, ma'am. I saw you. Yes, ma'am. Y'all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed if you can still, please. As people are coming to pray and do business with God. I'm going to pray right now for those battles. Nothing I'm going to say is going to help you. And you can be praying too, but I urge you as I pray, not even after I finish, but as I pray, would you come to an altar and do work with God and say, God, here I am. I surrender everything. God, would you use me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to just preach, God. God, I pray right now for every single person in this building who raised their hand or they didn't, but who are going through that season of where they need a breakthrough, God. I don't know how long it's been, how short it's been, or how long it's going to be for the rest of it. But God, I'm asking you, touch them. God, I'm asking you to touch them, God, right where they're at. But God, I pray that they have faith in their walk with you to know that they can go for you and touch you, God, because I promise when I make an effort for God, I realize that God makes a way harder effort for me. And so, God, I ask that you give them boldness. I ask you to give them courage to seek you out, Jesus. God, I pray that they see you right where you are, and they'll find you, and they'll set that opportunity right on their sights, and they'll come for you, Jesus. God, please be with them. God, I pray if there's no one here today under the sound, if there's someone here today under the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray today be the day that you call their name and they hear you loud and clear. God, I pray they hear you loud and clear. They respond to you. God, I pray that they respond to you. Jesus, please just be with them this morning. Be with all of them this morning who said, help me, Jesus. God, just be with them. I ask all these things in your heavenly name. Amen. Go ahead.